you like this episode, please subscribe, share with others, rate and review so we can continue to bring you great programming.
Let's change the world together. Welcome to the Snapcast, the podcast for all nonprofit professionals, bringing you interviews and amazing ideas for nonprofit leaders.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Nonprofit Snapcast. I'm your host, Mickey Desai. I have three ladies around the table who have a unique relationship to each other, and I'm just going to let them introduce themselves. I think you're going to appreciate what they do together and their relationship, especially as it spans the entire country. Trella, you want to go first?
Hi, Mickey. My name is Trella Walker. I am the interim CEO at Nonprofit Finance Fund, and our headquarters is in New York, but I'm actually stationed in Los Angeles.
Headquartered in New York, and you're in Los Angeles. Okay. Kristen, how about you?
Sure. Hi, Mickey. My name is Kristen Giantris. I am the interim chief client services officer, which means that I'm responsible for our financing and consulting activity at NFF, and I'm based out of New York.
Very cool. Andrea.
Yes, hello.
Hello.
I'm Andrea Briscoe. I am the interim chief administrative officer at NFF. I'm based near New York, and chief administrative officer is all things HR, operations, things of that nature.
Very cool. So NFF, of course, is Nonprofit Finance Fund. Can we talk very briefly about what NFF does in general?
Thank you. Yes. So NFF is a community development finance institute, and we hold two different types of businesses. We offer both a lending service and a consulting service, as well as capturing our insights from our clients and sharing those back out with the nonprofit sector, nonprofit and philanthropic sector as well.
Very nice. Can you provide an example of what that means to, like, on a very granular level? What does that look like to me as a person sitting here in Atlanta just working with nonprofits?
Yeah, we give money to nonprofits. We lend money to nonprofits in particular. Mm-hmm. We also work with nonprofits to provide opportunities to develop stronger strategic financial decision-making. And we use the information that we garner from the lending engagements as well as the advising engagements to share out with the broader sector around what really is helping the nonprofit sector expand and grow in the most positive way.
Very cool. I want to talk about your background and how you got to this national footprint that is, you know, has a serious geographical divide. How does it work? How did you three meet each other? Is it through the job? How did this shared? Because I should tell our listeners, I'm getting way ahead of myself here. The reason we're talking today is because these ladies have a shared leadership model that I think is kind of unique. And so I want to do a little bit of digging around how this came to be. What does shared leadership mean? That sort of thing. So how do we start that part of the conversation?
Mickey, I tend to talk a lot because I'm the talker. And that's just how it cracks up the most. So yep. I'm gonna start it and then ask my colleagues, Kristen and Andrea, to support me. But basically, we all work together. And our present CEO was exiting the organization, and the board of our organization asked us, would we take leadership? And at the time, we really didn't have a structure for what that would look like. We had all served on our current leadership team, but we had served in different capacities, and our current leadership team at the time was tiered, meaning there were people who were advanced leaders and there were people who were junior to advanced leaders. And we were all in different positions in the organization. And we were like, how do we make this work? And from that point, you know, Kristen, dive in. What happened next?
Yeah, I think what we did is that we both look back and look forward. So Andrea, Trell, and myself have each been at NFF for different periods of time, and also for different sort of chapters in the organization. This organization has been a national CDFI since, you know, it went national in the 90s, started out in 1980. And it evolved many times over the years in terms of how we are serving our clients, the nature of the products that we're using. But beginning, middle, and end, it's really all about how do we support those organizations and then the sector at large to truly thrive in their communities. And what does it mean to understand how funding and financing flows into those organizations and thus supporting those communities? So that's kind of, that's been our orientation the whole time, but we came together at a point in time with our former CEO was leaving, the board was asking us to lead, and we were embarking on a new strategy that built on that earlier mission and really centered racial equity in that work. And I think the board originating with us around leadership was because of what we held. Trella held strategy. I held a long history on the client serving side, and Andrea held, you know, what it meant to staff and support the running of the organization. I think that's what they saw. And I think what we then said was, well, we can bring this together in a more hierarchical way, or we can really recognize the place we are. We can recognize that we're three women. We can recognize that we are also, of those three women, we are two Black women and one white woman. And we can really decide how we want our leadership model to manifest our strategy. And that's why we decided a shared model where each of us in our area of expertise and experience would sort of lead on those topics, but that we would come together around the strategy and implementation of that strategy for the organization.
Andrea, help me fill in the blanks here. Is it the three of you that are at the top of this leadership diagram? Is that how it works?
It is the three of us who are at the top of the diagram. Absolutely. And I think that, you know, we had the opportunity and pleasure to work with each other for a while under our previous CEO, under various leadership styles. And I think that we had, you know, all of us had different conversations at different times with the board. And I think they recognized in us the talents that we had in what we were each holding, as Kristen and Trella have been saying. So I think that's also led them to make the path for us. So we certainly knew the past. We weren't quite sure where we were going to go in the future because we had this new transition plan, this new sort of iterative way of thinking about the structure and how that was going to work based on restructuring the organization. But we did have the benefit of understanding each other and how we think and what our strengths are. So that then became kind of a natural sort of, you know, coalition of being able to work together, being able to go to the person who has the subject matter expertise in that area and kind of bounce stuff off of them. But it's the thing that's valuable for me. It hasn't been, you know, in hierarchical situations, a lot of times there are people vying for the attention of the CEO to get their plan, to raise their plan, to raise their particular ship, right? For us, high tides have raised all ships, you know? So we all are moving forward based on the fact that we've been able to work together in such a great collaborative way.
Very cool. So let's talk about I want to define the shared model. How do you divide roles and responsibilities? How do you do the shared decision-making thing? You know, the three of you must have had an opportunity in the beginning to sit down and figure out how decisions get made. Isn't that right?
Of course. This is actually kind of cool. So we all really sit in different areas. And so we decided very early on, one was that this was already going to be, it was a lot going on in our organization. We're changing our structure. We're looking at reorganizing around this new strategy. And we just had our CEO, you know, decide to do another, go in another direction. So that's a lot of change for this organization. So how do we shore up all of the different things that needed to happen, but also respect each other equally and level the playing field consistently? And we decided that one, we had to trust each other and support each other at all times. So, you know, no in front of folks going, I don't know why she decided that thing. That can't happen. And we've been really good at that.
Right.
And then two was to decide that when we had a decision that needed to be elevated, the person that was holding expertise in that decision would be the quote unquote tiebreaker. So if we had something around policy and Kristen felt one way, I felt another way, as our chief administrative officer and the one with the most experience in that area, Andrea would be the one to be like, okay, I heard both of you, then I think we're going in this direction, and we would support that decision. And it has been, it has actually been a very, very high functioning way of orienting, because we had to trust each other's expertise. And it's also, you know, we can, I'll say this, it has been such an honor to work with these two women, because they bring such a powerful and thoughtful orientation to everything that we do. And I think we've all paused, even in our quote unquote expertise, to really listen to each other in our journeys.
Excellent. Very cool. I was going to say, this is the kind of thing that demands a lot of communication and a lot of trust. Trust is also kind of risky, isn't it? I mean, Kristen, correct me if I'm wrong here, but you know, how did you establish those boundaries? How did you or did you have to knock down some walls to make this kind of thing happen? What was the process like?
No, it's a great question. And for me, one of the most interesting parts of the process, I think I've been at NFF the longest of the three of us, and, you know, had worked largely under a pretty siloed structure in the organization where, as Andrea said, you know, people are sort of bringing their own points, positions, goals to the table. So I had to really come with a very different orientation. And I feel that the reason that it's worked is because there is I would say Trello led us in being very direct and asking us why we were thinking or doing what we were doing, not in a way that was calling us out, but in a way that was calling us into the, you know, into the leadership model, into the shared leadership model. And I believe over time, we each started to model that in different ways. I also think that the reason we were able to build the trust is because at the beginning and end of the day, we all very sincerely hold this organization at the center. We truly believe in what its mission is. We truly believe in the work that the staff are doing and can do. And there is less about our egos in these discussions and decisions than there is what is it that's really going to not just satisfy what the organization needs today, but set this organization up for sort of a sustained success and ability to truly contribute over time.
You took the word right out of my mouth. I was going to say, yeah. Ego must take a backseat to all of this stuff. So
it has to. Yeah. It really has to. And I think we were both, the three of us were like, in our own ways, ready for that, you know, as professionals and as leaders anyway, in our own development. I think that leaving our egos at the door wasn't necessarily the hardest thing for us to do. But it was something that we kind of checked each other on throughout.
Andrea, what was the hardest thing to do?
I think the most difficult thing, good question. The most difficult thing for me, I think, is being able to go out of my lane, right? Because I spent a lot of time staying in my lane, right? And so, because as Kristen just mentioned to you, we were in a really siloed environment, you know? So to now be able to say, oh, okay, so I can weigh in on this and that, or I can think about what is important operationally. My thinking before was what is important in terms of talent and folks in the organization. So to be able to do that, and then more broadly look across the entire organization from a leadership perspective. Because a lot of times when you're like a level down, you get to spend, you know, a certain percentage of your time complaining about what the leadership is doing and what you do differently, right? So now there's not that level, right? It's like, it's the three of us. So if something's wrong, we need to work it out, you know? So that feeds into what you said before about the ability to trust, the ability to be vulnerable, and also to have difficult conversations, whether it's about a person, about a policy, about a practice, about, you know, the ability to have that and know that the person next to you or your colleague, one of the three of us, will in fact tell us, you know, hey, you've got broccoli in your teeth, Andrea. You know what I mean? We'll tell you the truth. So that's where we've landed with that.
I hate it when I get broccoli in my teeth. So let me ask this then. It's the three of you. How many folks report to you?
Let's see, the whole organization, 110 now.
I was going to say, that's a pretty big.
Yeah, it's a pretty, and that's for our full-time staff. I'd say we're like 129 if we count part-time and consulting.
Hmm. So of those 129 people, are there other levels within that hierarchy that you think shared leadership would also work, or does it only work at the top?
Oh, that's a lovely question. We actually just went through a major restructure of the organization. And so we did not advocate for shared leadership in the other bands, is what we call them. But not because we're not looking for shared models, is because we restructured to create shared models in the band. Mm-hmm. So if you look, the way that we tried to reorient, we talked about, we had kind of a siloed way of operating in the past. We have created larger numbers of leaders and smaller departments across the organization who share more specialized work. And the orientation is that those leaders they can't function without each other. So they have to share leadership in that way, because they can't function without each other. There's suites that have, like, you know, 3 to 4 departments in each suite, but even those suites can't function without the functions of the other suites. So we've really tried to build a continued widening of the circle and widening of the thought leadership that goes into decision making at NFF. That is very new for us as of January 3rd. So,
oh, wow. Very new. Okay.
Yeah. Very new endeavor for us.
Right. So the effort then is also to maybe get some people, more people out of their silos. Is that the overall intent?
That is absolutely the intent. That was the strategy behind it.
So we've talked about so far, you know, taking a look at the shared model, dividing and sharing roles and responsibilities. We've briefly talked on benefits, which I think are also challenges, right? So you're talking about emotional support, the building of trust, but emotional support and trust are also challenging, right? I think that people tend to have certain defenses up around what it means to try to trust somebody else in some cases. I just have this, correct me if I'm wrong, but I have this notion that trusting other people is hard for people to do. So what I'm trying to do here is segue to overall challenges, right? So getting to a place where you can extend trust to your colleagues is one thing, but what would you say are the other challenges of implementing this, not just amongst the three of you, but across the organization? You've mentioned things in the notes here that I think we should touch on: infrastructure support, which I'm assuming means technology and communications, right? Consistent messaging, time to determine lead-based issues, lead based on the issue. Let's talk about that for a minute. Kristen, can you get us started on those?
Sure. And I'd add another one, actually, which is where I will start. And then we can sort of break down this a little bit more. As we've said, this is not this orientation around sort of cross-departmental or cross-organizational leadership is not anything that is in the sort of the history or culture of the organization. And that doesn't remain at the leadership level. That culture trickles throughout the entire organization. And so I think one of the biggest challenges for us is to be able to support and help the organization adapt to trusting each other in a new way, the way we have done that, when in fact, they are coming from a long history of sort of more siloed operations, narrow definition of decision making and controls. And when we start to open that up, it some people feel excited, some people feel insecure, some people just feel confused.
Yeah.
We felt all of those things as well ourselves, but it's a lot easier to discuss among three people how to reconcile that and to get vulnerable, as Andrea said, and to really talk through those issues as three humans than it is for 100 plus people to do that. And so I actually think that's one of the challenges, is translating the way we have embraced trust and used it as a foundation for the way we're working, to be able to translate that to a whole organization, that's, you know, we're still doing that.
Yep. That's, I get it. I completely get it. It's a transition for everybody.
It's a transition for everybody. Yep. Right.
Trella, what about the infrastructure support and consistent messaging? How do you address those challenges?
I think in the very beginning, this was a challenge for us, is that, you know, even though we had a chance to talk about things, we still took our lens to conversations when we were putting it out. And, you know, getting beyond where we sat in the organization or what we were responsible for, so that when we communicated the whole picture, not just our piece of the picture, was a consistent thing that we had to work on. This is where the trust kicked in overdrive, because, you know, whereas, you know, my orientation was strategy and I might have a broader picture of the organization, I don't do operations and I don't always understand the intimacies of what it takes to run, you know, the things that we're trying to implement. And Andrea would have to say, you know, hey, I appreciate this big broad picture that you're giving, but I'm gonna need these details and I'm gonna need you to add this to the conversation. And it was like, ah, you know, it would all make sense. But I might have already been off to the races with, you know, two or three conversations. And then I have to go like, think, pause, where do I need to go fill them back in and give them more details and really hold on to that space? Whereas in the past, if you're only responsible for your little segment, you know, they know what they need to know. And that's all that they needed to know. So we had to be very mindful of filling in and sometimes refilling in spaces that we created in with infrastructure. Mm-hmm. Eventually, I think over time, we've all gotten much stronger at that. We're able to message in a different way. The other thing is when you're not planning for a shared model, even the board and their ability to orient around supporting the shared model can be challenging, because they're used to having like one person to go to and talk about, you know, the issues. And if the board or the staff continue to orient in the same way, it can pose a challenge to the model. It can put an additional weight on the shared model.
Mm-hmm. So I'm going to drill down on the whole infrastructure issue. Are we talking about technology? Are we talking about instant messaging, text messaging, cell phones? What does that look like from a hardware and software perspective?
So, you know, I think we're not talking about that.
Okay.
I think one of the values that we have at NFF, or one of the valuable things, particularly in the pandemic era that we're in right now, is the fact that we were ready to be able to optimize the ability to work remotely in most cases, you know, because we were doing that 2 days a week already as an organization. So we just kind of expanded that. So that, you know, technology in terms of hardware, software, all of those ways in which we communicate, I think have been pretty okay in terms of continuing.
Right. So you had the tools. It was just a matter of putting more mileage on them.
Absolutely.
I get it. So we, you know, again, I keep trying to recap and look forward for this. What are your challenges that you see, not only to making the model work today, but what do you see on the horizon? What's going to happen 3 years from now, 5 years from now? What do you think are the current challenges, both amongst yourself and for the organization? Trella, you want to start that one off?
Oh, Lord, I knew he was going to come to me first. One is we're in the process of identifying a permanent CEO, and what that position looks like will be weighted on who's selected and how they choose to govern, lead, you know, orient to the group. I think that we have built the strength amongst us to be able to move in a shared model or collaborative model without much of a hiccup. And in collaborative, we're saying we still all hold our same roles and responsibilities. We may look to leadership for particular guidance and orientation, vision, mission, et cetera. But we still work almost in the same way that we're working now because of the trust that we've established amongst us. So that's going to be it.
I mean, I'm here. You're going to put in a CEO, but does that mean the relationship between the three of you will go away once that person's in place?
It's a good question. We really don't know.
Okay. I mean, I don't mean to pry, but why not just keep things the way they are?
So I'll go ahead and dive in just because holding strategy. When we talk about infrastructure, you know, you immediately tend to go to like the hardware.
Yeah.
Software part of that is really like, how do you communicate with your board? Who's legally responsible for the organization? Who is the spokesperson? Can it always be the three of us? No, that's not even practical, right? Mm. So just things like that, that automatically shift and reorient people to you, to each other. It happens somewhat organically when you haven't built the infrastructure to support a continued shared model. And it's not a negative at all. But I do think that when you implement a shared model, and we did it kind of in an emergency, like sudden orientation, it takes a lot more deliberation, and you actually need to spend time pulling back some of those norms to see what norms can be changed. We have not done that. We built this shared model in a single leader infrastructure. And now we're kind of feeling some of the constraints of it. Whereas in the past, we felt the flexibility of it. Like, we moved into this model. It's like, okay, we can do all these things. And now we're like, okay, now we need to figure out like, what do we need to expand or push on? And we're trying to figure out what's next.
Okay, so you're trying to figure out what's next. I get it. I thought maybe you had your eyes on, besides in putting a CEO in place, I thought there may be other changes that you wanted to implement before that happened. But Kristen, what would you say are your challenges? You've mentioned some things already, but what would you do differently if you had to do this again?
I don't know if I would do it differently, as much as I'm really curious what it would be like to do this in a more controlled environment, meaning when we're not in the midst of the numbers of layers of change that we have been from transitioning, you know, longtime CEO to, you know, moving forward to, you know, expectations around, we had defined a strategy, but we hadn't started to implement it yet. So there's expectations around that, particularly from the board and from a lot of external sort of partners and stakeholders. I wouldn't do it differently, because I think the moment was a really interesting moment to try this. And to be really blunt about it, it worked for us. Mm. You know, it was a model that worked for us. We saw the possibility of it. And again, the ego piece was big. We could leave our egos at the door and do this. So we said, let's try. And we needed to support each other. We were managing in a really sort of intense time period period. And we needed to support each other. So it worked. But I think part of the challenge is all that has been on our plate has been so layered in terms of the change that we haven't always had the time or space that I know we've all wanted to sort of consolidate our leadership model more, to give ourselves the space to contemplate our decision-making approach, not the decisions per se, but like, okay, how are we sort of codifying this approach and how are we then sharing that down into the staff? So the whole organization was learning, not just three of us.
Right.
So I just think it was more of what was coming at us when we were trying to implement this. And I'm just I'll always be curious what it would be like to do it in a slightly less intense moment.
One strand of spaghetti instead of the entire pile, right?
Yeah, right. Exactly. Or maybe right. Three, but yeah, not the whole pot.
Andrea, what would you have done differently?
I don't think I would have done anything differently either. I think that though, what comes to mind for me is, you know, they say sometimes you've got to go slow to go fast, right? So in saying that and thinking about that, I would like to have had more time to plan what our leadership structure was going to look like. I mean, as an organization, we are always rushing, like always in a hurry to get everything done, you know, high volume, high activity people. You know, so that to me, sometimes you need to just take a step back and think about it, right? And in order to be creative, particularly, sometimes you got to, you know, take a couple beats.
Yep.
So that's, you know, what I, that's the thing that I think about, you know, would I trade my colleagues here? Absolutely not. Would I trade the model? No, you know, so yeah. It's just a matter of, you know, and also if I did do it again, do I still have all the thoughts that I had from having gone through this, you know, so the ability to have some hindsight.
Right. Right. Yeah. It's fascinating stuff. I mean, this is a first for me as well. I've contemplated shared leadership models before, but I'm very fascinated to see the three of you actually doing that. And I've got to thank the three of you for making time out of your very busy day to have this conversation with me. We are rapidly running out of time. If a listener wanted to be in touch with you or to learn more about NFF, how would you suggest they find you?
They can reach any of us by our the first letter of our names and our last name. So I'm twalker@nff.org.
kjantris@nff.org.
Mm-hmm. abriscoe@nff.org.
And I'll put the link to AFF.org. I'll put the link in the website as well. I'll put that in our show notes. And this has been really great. I mean, if you have a parting word of advice for any other nonprofit that may be in the same situation, what would you, I mean, we've got some gems we could pull out of this. Just do one strand of spaghetti instead of the entire pile. Make sure you have a trusting relationship with folks. Be prepared to leave your ego at the door. What are some other things you might say to a nonprofit? Is this for everybody? I mean, or is it not for everybody?
It's so funny, Mickey, you named a whole bunch of really big things, but yeah. The bottom line is be willing to grow. I've grown so much with these two ladies. It's unbelievable. And it requires you to really do all those other things so that you can grow and be a different person.
I like that. We might have to title this episode, Be Willing to Grow. So again, Trella, Kristen, Andrea, thank you for being my guest today. I hope we have an opportunity to do some more conversations with each other in the future. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This has been The Snapcast. Thank you for joining us.
The Snapcast is a production of the Nonprofit Snapshot. Please visit us at nonprofitsnapshot.org to learn more about our consulting work and the ways we can help your organization continue to make the world a better place.